So if you haven't been baptized, I just encourage you to consider it. And the only thing that might slow us down from having a baptism, if there's a cyclone, Gita comes down next weekend, we might have to postpone it for a couple of weeks. But apart from that, we'll be all good. The other, just a little bit of something to be aware of, is that right now Bronnie's dad is passing away. And so she's with him at the moment, and over the next, probably the next few hours or days, he'll be going to be with the Lord. So, and he's a strong Christian man. But it'd be just good if we keep Bronnie and the family in our prayers, and you might like to just send her a text of encouragement or something like that. So anyway, today as we get into to the vision, how many of you think that vision is important? A few of us. I grew up in a church. I never ever heard about a church having a vision, and I just sort of thought, well, surely it's obvious that we come to worship God and we're like a little Christian community, and but I think all along we did have some vision, and even personally, but it wasn't always explained or spelt out. But I think in previous times, it's sort of a lot more common these days to talk about vision and to have a vision. So that's what we're doing today. But before we start, Cheryl, I'd like to just come and pray for God's blessing on this word today.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time when we can just focus on your word and what you have got for us today. Lord, I pray for Roger, and thank you for the time that he's spent just seeking your heart. And Lord, I pray that you'll just anoint him now. And Lord, we want to be open and just receptive to what you've got for us today. I pray that you'll our eyes will be lifted high, and Lord, that you will give us fresh vision, not just for the church, but for each individual here as well. And Lord, that you will get on board with what you're doing. We won't be just spectators, but we want to move where you're moving and do what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. As a church, we have had a vision and a vision statement now for probably 15, 20 years. It has changed a little bit, but the intent of it and actually the meaning of it hasn't really changed much. But our Surfside vision is we narrowed it down to a 5-year vision so that we keep re-looking at it and refreshing what we're doing. That was a year, I think it was the end of 2016, so we're a year and a bit into our 5-year vision. And so I think it's good for us just to relook at it now and then. And if we're going to have a vision, it's actually important to know what it is. And more than that, actually to think about implementing it, or at least aiming to. Because often what can happen is, hey, we think it's a trendy thing. We know we've got to have a vision statement, and we put it up on the wall, which we actually don't in here, but or we have it on our website, and then we just ignore it and carry on doing what we've always done. You know, it's very easy to do that, actually, to have these grand ideas and so on, and really not outwork them. So if it really is a vision from God, and I believe that the vision that in our little statement, our 5-year Surfside 2021 vision, is something that came from God. I was looking at it last night, and obviously, and over the last few days, and thinking, well, actually, I don't think I could have come up with this by myself. And you know, we as a team, we talked about it, and we sort of put it together, and so on. But I really do believe it's something from God for us right now. And there's just a few quotes about vision, if any of you are not quite sure about, just something to think about. There's a quote from this guy, Joel A. Barker, who I don't know, but he said, vision without action is only a dream. Nothing wrong with having a dream, but if that's all it is, well, it doesn't change much. And he goes on to say, action, this is on the other way around, action without vision just passes the time. You know, we can be very busy in our life, but actually at the end of our life we think, well, man, I didn't actually accomplish much, or didn't really, you know, we can live with regrets. But then he goes on to say, but vision with action can change the world. Isn't that cool? A cool thought to think that actually maybe God wants us to change the world. So that's and I've got a couple of other quotes here for you to think about. There's another guy, some of you may have heard of these people, I haven't, Antonio de Saint-Exupéry, and this is what he says: if you want to build a ship, don't just get people together to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Because that's what vision does. It actually, it's not about beating ourselves into action to do stuff. It's actually about getting a real exciting picture that motivates us. Winston Churchill said this. He said, the empires of the future are empires of the mind. What was he meaning? I think he was meaning that everything of significance begins with what we think. And then we visualize it. And then we start to dream, and we get a picture of something, and then we start to move towards it. So that's what vision can do for us. And Winston Churchill, of course, I mean, he certainly was a visionary and a great leader in his day. Probably we may not be here if it wasn't for him, actually, and things could be quite different. However, I think Jesus was probably the greatest visionary ever. It's ever walked this earth. And he talked a lot about big picture stuff. He talked about the kingdom of God, for example. And he talked about the kingdom of God. And it's recorded 56 times in the book of Matthew alone that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. So what he was doing, he's taking these bunch of young guys with him, and he's giving them a big picture. He was giving them a vision, and he was starting to expand their thinking and to capture their hearts, so that they, he wasn't just worrying about them making a boat or a ship. He was showing them about the ocean and about humanity and God's dream for people. And they started to capture that, didn't they? And those 12 guys, they went on to change the world. And once again, we're sitting here, probably because of what they did. Well, undoubtedly, because of what they did. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18, probably a verse that we all know well in relation to vision. From the King James Version, it says like this: where there is no vision, the people perish. And other translations say, or people live carelessly, or aimlessly. And then we sort of, we just don't accomplish anything. We get careless. We fall into sin and selfishness, and then our life just goes nowhere. That's what the Bible says. So, is it important that we have vision? I think we all agree. Let's put our hands up if we think it's important that we've got vision. And I think it needs to be personal as well as corporate. I mean, today I'm talking about our corporate vision as a church, our 2021 vision, because that's what we've got right now. And we have three words that sum up our 2021 vision. Can anyone tell me what they are? We've got three words. People is one. Purpose is another. What's the first one? Jesus. Okay, let's put those up on the screen, shall we? That sums up our vision as a church. And I mean, you probably won't be able to remember our 2021 vision, word for word or right through, but we can all remember Jesus, people, and purpose, can't we? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that and show how that fits into what we believe God's shown us. So we'll leave those up just to remind us for a while anyway. But actually, we might go into the first part of our... What we might do is go through our five-year vision in just little sections today, thinking first of all about Jesus. And the first two lines of our vision say this. And remember, this is God's dream for us. It's not just our dream for us. It's something we believe God has given us. So let's put that up, shall we? A church with Jesus at the center, and a church beating with the heartbeat of Jesus. What was Jesus' heartbeat, do you think? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think that's a pretty good place to start, is that, you know, we're not here to build something for ourselves. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're here first and foremost for what? For Jesus. Because he is, as we sang this morning, he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, and he's the one that saved us, he's the one that gives us a future, he's the one that gives us a hope, he's the one that we live for, actually. In the final analysis, it's all about Jesus. It's what our Christianity means, Christ's ones. Recently we've been studying Colossians. And a major theme of that letter to the Colossians was simply keep Jesus at the center. Because the church in Colossae was getting a little bit off onto all sorts of sidetracks. This is what Paul said to them in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And we'll read that. See to it that no one takes you captive. This was Paul speaking to the church, to the Christians in Colossae. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Very easy, isn't it? To give lip service to the fact, yes, we serve Jesus, we love Jesus, we want to place him first in our hearts and our lives, and then we get all sorts of sidetracks on all sorts of other things. Philosophy. Human tradition. For in verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity, that's God, all the fullness of God is in Jesus, lives in bodily form, when he was on earth in physical form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. That's what the Word of God tells us. That's Jesus, that's who he is. And there's a bit of a warning here about not becoming captive. That was the warning that Paul gave the Colossians, to hollow and deceptive philosophy. You know, intellectualism, all sorts of theories about this, that, and the other can capture our imagination. You know, there's plenty of theories out there, isn't there? There's plenty of ideas, and there's all sorts of intellectual things that we can get sidetracked on. Human tradition. Human tradition can be, you know, we can think we're, you know, lots of good things, lots of religious things. And yet, we know that contrary to what people say, that all religions lead to God. We know that's not true. The Bible says it's only through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. Now, all these other religions, all these other philosophies, all these other ideas that people sort of get all carried away on actually end up in a dead end. And the principles of this world. We live in a world, and we can't help it, but we get caught with, you know, the values of the world rub off on us, don't they? Worldliness. We want things. We want to be like everyone else, and we have this subtle pressure on every single one of us because of the world that we live in. To be something, to have something, to be like something or someone else. And Paul was saying, don't become captive to these things. Instead, focus on Jesus. Remember who he was. Remember how much he loves us. Remember that, like it Chris said at the communion time, he died for each and every one of us. And we need to keep that at the center and become like him, and actually to the point where we have his heartbeat. Wouldn't that be cool, that we actually really in sync with Jesus, even in the way that having Jesus' heartbeat, being like him. It's not something we have to try to do. It's just as we get to know him and we talk to him and we read his word and we worship and so on. It just sort of becomes, it sort of rubs off on us. Just like if we spend all our time in the world and you know, doing worldly stuff, it rubs off on us. But if we're spending time with Jesus and we're you know, just enjoying his company and talking to him as we go about our day, you know, gradually we'll find that we actually get his heartbeat and we'll start thinking like God does. And his heartbeat is, in our vision statement, the very next part is he tangata, he tangata, he tangata, which means what? The people, the people, the people. And I think we need to realize that Jesus, his heartbeat was for people. Think about Jesus and what he did. He you know, he had time for people. He cared for people. Sick people, he healed them. Kids were, that wanted to, you know, come and sit on his knee, and the disciples thought they were just being an interruption. No, he wanted to spend time with people. And outcasts, you know, the woman at the well, no one would talk to because she'd been into so much sin. And, you know, just all the way, lepers, blind people. Jesus had compassion for everybody, the rich people. Nicodemus, Lazarus, and all sorts of different people. Jesus, his heartbeat was absolutely for people. And if we're going to capture this vision, we too need to have a, you know, we need to have a real passion and love for people, don't we? And that means each other. It means, let's see what else. A church with a tremendous mixture of people. All sorts of people. It's easy for us to love people that are like us, think the same, you know, got the same interests and so on. We need to start being interested in more people than what we have been before. If we're going to start to fulfill this vision that God's given, we can't be limited and narrow and just sticking to our friends, including those yet to come into God's house. There's people that God's got a vision for out there walking the streets right now, perhaps struggling with addictions or focused on materialism or whatever they're doing. And God's got his eye on them. And he's got his eye on us actually to be friends to these people and to invite them to come in. And they're going to come here and they're going to call it home if we welcome them in. Because it's not, church is not an exclusive club for good people. It's a place for sinners to come, like you and me, and get to know God and his grace and his love and his goodness. And there's more yet. A church where people find freedom and life, eternal life. And what an awesome privilege to be a part of a vision like that. It's not just about here and now. You know, it's about the kingdom of God. It's about that picture that Jesus painted for his disciples. It's about eternity. See, Jesus had come from heaven and he knew what it was like. He knew what he was preparing and he wanted people to be a part of it. He chose the disciples and he chose us to be on his team and to be inviting people in. If we're going to see this happen, what sort of a church do we need to be? That's something we need to think about. If we're going to see this vision fulfilled, when we're serious about it, you know, we need to start thinking about what sort of people do we need to be? What sort of church do we need to be? Are we, you know, are people going to come maybe to the street or the door, and or are they going to come and just feel welcomed and encouraged to come in, loved and included and welcomed and so on? If the vision ended there with people actually meeting Jesus, you know, we could almost fall into the trap. I don't think we would, but thinking that all we have to do is tell people about Jesus, run some sort of a crusade or pass out pamphlets to every home in Raglan and say, well, we've done our job. People have heard about Jesus and that's all we have to do, and they've got the opportunity to receive him or not. But the next part blows that idea right out of the water, because God's vision for us is not just to tell people about Jesus and think our job's done. It's much more than that. So let's look at this next part. God's vision for us is to be a church where people not only come in and feel at home and loved and accepted, but they grow in faith, where they discover purpose and become who they were created to be and excel. Isn't that a cool word? You know, our vision has to be much more than an evangelistic crusade. You know, we can't just have a big evangelistic crusade and say, we've done our job, let's go fishing or whatever. I mean, as much as that would be cool, but it's about people coming to faith, coming to know Jesus for themselves, and then growing in that faith and discovering their place in God's family. And we all need to realize that you and me, every single one of us, are God's sons and daughters in his house. And he has plans for us. He's got plans for you, Ross. He's got plans for you, David. He's got plans for you, Richard. He's got plans for Trevor. He's got plans for every one of us. And that is that he wants us to grow. He wants us to flourish. And he wants us to prosper in his house, in his family. That's what we all want for our kids, isn't it? It's no different with God. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And even to the point of excelling. Have you thought about that? God wants us to not just to stumble through life, not just to get through to the finish line just. He wants us to excel. He wants us to do well. That's in our faith, and I think even in our everyday life. Do you think this is a little bit of an exciting vision that God's given us? I want to say the best is still to come, because that's not all. God wants us, you know, on top of all of this, he wants us to be a church that cannot be ignored. That's the next part. A church of influence established in the heart of Raglan, making an impact for God beyond this community. I want you guys just to think a little bit about that statement and what that means. Did you hear that? Can you see that? If this is a vision from God for us, and I believe it is, we need to realize that right now, most people in Raglan, many of our family members and friends and so on and so forth, are ignoring God, aren't they? Is that true? Just living life, just doing what they want to do, and God's sort of out of the way somewhere. And as far as church goes, well, you know, they're quite happy to ignore church as well. But God wants us, this is what this 5-year vision talks about, is to be a church that actually people can no longer ignore. It's pretty different, isn't it? In fact, God's plan is that they will be influenced by us instead of us being influenced by them. That means that actually every single one of us as a part of this family of God can be like role models for other people to look to in our community and in life and business, at school. That's God's plan, that actually we will start to have an influence for him just wherever we go. And God sees us as he sees our church and he sees us moving into the future. He sees us making an impact for him even beyond our community here. That's what that says, making an impact for God beyond this community. Just what that exactly is going to look like, I don't know. But That's our purpose. You know, we've got Jesus at the centre. We've got people, which is his heartbeat, which we need to be just embracing and loving and encouraging in their faith and their journey with him and speaking life to people, encouraging people. And then we realize we've got a purpose. As we do that stuff, you know, we're going to start to make an impact. We're going to start to influence what decisions that are made in our community because of the different areas that we'll be living and working in. So how do we do this? Now, it's all very well having a great dream, as he said, but without action, you know, it's just a dream. At the end of last year, we had a little bit of a leaders' evening out, and I think most of our leaders, I gave them this book written by a guy called Sam Chand. He's a guy that we've heard at some conferences and things, and he's talking. The name of this book is Bigger, Faster Leadership, which, it's all cool, but the book is really fascinating, and actually, if any of you would like to read it, you know, we've got, the leaders have got copies of it, we might put a copy in the library and so on. I think it'll help you in your life if you're interested in this sort of thing. It's actually based on the building of the Panama Canal. And I didn't know much about the Panama Canal before I started reading this book, but I'm really interested in the Panama Canal now. I'd love to go and see it and go through it and so on, because I now know about some of the struggles that went on to accomplish it. I'll just read you a little bit from this book. The Panama Canal was the largest, most challenging building project the world had ever known in its time. And there was an American president, Theodore Roosevelt, recognized the pressing need for commerce to travel more easily between the oceans. And despite past failures, he believed it was still possible to dig a path in the jungle between the seas. And this whole book is about presidents, it's about engineers, it's about a big vision, and then putting it together, the strategy, and all the people that came together to make this work. And there's a little bit of lots of books been written about it, but this guy wrote a book about it. He said, the creation of a water passage across Panama was one of the supreme human achievements of all time, the culmination of a heroic dream of 400 years and of more than 20 years of phenomenal effort and sacrifice. The 50 miles between the oceans were among the hardest ever won by human effort and ingenuity. See, they'd already dug the Suez Canal. The French had done that, and it was pretty, you know, it was a big project, but it was actually relatively easy because they were digging through sand, and they did it pretty quick. And they thought, oh, we better do the Panama Canal. But it was different because there was mountains, and there was rocks, and there was jungle, and there was mosquitoes, and there was all sorts of problems. Things rusted, and there was floods, and all sorts of mudslides, and all sorts of things that they had to contend with. But the 50 miles between the oceans were among the hardest ever won by human effort and ingenuity. And no statistics on tonnage or tolls can begin to convey the grandeur of what was accomplished. Primarily, the canal is an expression of that old and noble desire to bridge the divide, to bring people together. It's a work of civilization. And then he goes on in his book to say, our work as leaders, as people in the church in Surfside, is infused with the same nobility, vision, and difficulty. In our organizations, our task is to bridge the divide between what is. And we look around us and we see what's going on, what's the reality, and what might be, the potential, the possibilities, to bring meaning to those who have lost hope, to bring value to people who want a better life. Who doesn't want a better life? That's our mission. That's our vision, to help people have a better life and to make human connections richer and more meaningful. Our work as leaders is no less than this, and our challenge is much like the one faced by those who looked at the jungles at Panama. and wondered, can we really do this? And they answered, yes, we can. And that must be our answer too. Just a little snippet out of the book. And our leaders have been looking at this, and over the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of get-togethers with some of the leaders, and we've been brainstorming some of the principles and some of the things of how, as a church, we can start to put our vision into practice. And I know that some of the leaders have been getting together with some of their teams. I know the youth team has been in getting together, and the Mainly Music team. And you see, there's this momentum starting to happen where we're reevaluating everything that we're doing as a church. And we're saying, does this line up with what God's called us to do? I think the key for us is to remember the three words that sum up our vision statement. What are they? Jesus. Number one, Jesus. What's number two? What's his heartbeat? People. And what comes as a result? Purpose. We have a purpose. They have a purpose. The church has a purpose, which is to change the atmosphere of our community. It's a pretty cool vision, isn't it? The last part, we've still got a little bit to finish. The vision that God has for us is to be a church pulsing with life, passion, and energy. And a church that surprises because it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think what we need to realize is that, you know, we can be as passionate and as energetic, and but if it's not empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to last. We've got to do everything that God has asked us to do in the natural. We've got to do our bit. We've got to work hard. We've got to love people. We've got to serve God. We've got to get on a team. We've got to, you know, just honor whatever God puts in front of us as an opportunity and go for it. But if it's just our effort, it's not going to last. It probably won't grow. We probably won't make a huge influence. Because it's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. And it's that anointing, isn't it, that makes such a difference. You know, on the worship, when you're speaking and when you're serving and when you're doing work day after day, week after week, serving, it gets hard. But it's the grace of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That's like a little fire in us. It keeps us burning with passion for people, passion to keep praying, passion to keep loving, passion to keep on when we get tired. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes the impossible possible. Because really this vision is impossible for us. But with the Holy Spirit in us and in our church and his anointing, it will happen. Just to finish up today, Tiaro has helped me to put our vision statement into the Maori language. So Tiaro, would you like to come up and read it for us? We'll have the words up on the screen. And I just briefly want to talk about that. You guys all know Tiaro. He's a good man. Let's give him a bit of encouragement. Yeah. Over to you, mate.
Ha kā tira, tēnā rā hoki tātou katoa, kua huihui mai nei tēnei rangi. Hoi anō, kia rere aku mihi, kia tainui waka, tainui tangata, tainui ngā tani whahoro paunamu tēnei tamihi atu kia koutou e au e tū nei. I raro I te maru o te maunga o Karioi e tū mai nei. Anō reira, kia rere aku mihi, kia Sean Ellison, I tiro kanohi hō miromiro mai nei ki tēnei whakamaoritanga, o tira kia Daly Hoki, tēnei te mihi atu ki ako e hoa, koutou koto whānau, tai atu ki tō iwi, tēnei te mihi atu, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou, kia ora mai tātou katoa. I just wanted to open just by acknowledging a few key components to Waikato Tainui for their providing their blessing. Also through Sean Ellison, who had who examined very carefully what we had translated, Rachel and I together, and then also to Dali for giving his blessing and giving me the opportunity to read this. So it's a privilege, and I'll read through these components that Pastor Roger has just gone through very carefully.
Te pai tawhiti e rua mano e rua te kaumātahi o te hāhi tahatai. Ko ihu te pautoko manawa o te hāhi. He hāhi e kapakapa ana i te pūmanawa o ihu. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. He hāhi mō ngā mātāwaka katoa, tai atu ki ngā manene, kaore anō kia tomokia, kia tohua te whare o te atua hei tūranga waiwai. He hāhi hei puna, e koutuhia i te wai whakamahea, te wai whakaora, te wai o te oranga tonutanga. He hāhi hei māra, e whanake whakapono ai, e whai aronga ai, e whakatinana koronga ai, e kounga ai te iwi. He hāhi e kore rawa e whakangongotia. He hāhi whai mana kei te puku o whāenga roa e whakaweawe ana ki tua o tēnei hāpori. He hāhi e puha ana i te mauri, i te wana, i te ngoi. He hāhi whakamiharo i te mea kua whakakahangia e te wairua tapu. Kāro nui a tahatai e rua mano e rua te kaumātahi, kia ihu, ki te tangata, ki te kaupapa, tēnā rā tātou katoa.
Thank you, Te Aro. What we need to realise, and this is something that as I was preparing this, is that this is not a narrow vision that God's given us. It's not just for one culture, and it's not just for Pākehā, and it's not just for the children or any the youth or any one segment of our community. It's actually for all of us. You know, I think as I was preparing it for this, God impressed on me the importance that he wants us all in this together. If we're going to fulfill this vision, he wants every segment of our church at work in this. And sometimes we can think as Pākehā that it's our job to reach the Māori community. I want to remind you guys that actually the Māori community has been reached here in Whangaroa Raglan for over about 150 years at least. They've been reached right across this community, and we even had our local chief, Wirimu Wenera, who was a strong Christian leader about 150 odd years ago. And almost the whole Maori community here in Raglan has a Christian heritage, which is probably just as strong or maybe even stronger than the rest of us. And so it's not about us actually reaching them, they're already reached. It's actually about us working together to reach our community. And I think there's a whole different mindset around that. And I think if we can grasp that, that none of us have priority on Jesus. None of us have priority. Now, God doesn't have favorites. Or in one sense, we're all his favorites. It doesn't matter where we've come from or who we are or what mistakes we've made in the past, what our family may or may not have looked like. It's not important to him. What's important to Jesus is that actually we love him and we catch his heartbeat and we start to put this awesome vision that he's given us into practice, and not just leave it as a statement on the wall or on our website, but actually start to take it seriously and realizing that, hey, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, has a part in this. We can all invite people to church. We can all serve in different areas in different ways. We can all have Jesus' heartbeat every day, wherever we go. And I think that's really what he wants. And as we catch this and as we start to do this, our community will be touched, won't it? And people will be saying, hey, what's going on? You know, what's happening at Surfside? What's this God like? Would you pray for me? Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. Doesn't mean we have to have it all together. But we just say, hey, it's about Jesus. And he's awesome. We love him. I love him because he's made a difference in my life. So bless you guys. That's the start today. And, you know, tonight actually we've got some of the leaders getting together again and we're just going to pray through some stuff and talk about some stuff. And we're putting things in place as a church to just to ensure that we're making some changes. We're keeping on working with this vision that God's given us. So, hey, if there's anything that you'd, you know, you've got any questions, you've got any queries, if you want to be a little bit more on board than you have been, well, just that's fine. Just let's get into it. Let's do this. So bless you guys. How about if we stand and let's get ready to worship God? If anyone would like some prayer today, anyone would like to just commit their life to Jesus, perhaps if someone wants to make a recommitment, if there's people that are just, you might be struggling in some area, that's okay. Just come and bring it to God. And if you need some prayer, we'd love to pray with you as well.